So today's topic is orthogonal complements, orthogonality, I guess you'd say, in Rn. And so the two things I want to talk about today are orthogonal complements and orthogonal projection. So first of all, let me talk about orthogonal complements. So let, say, W be a subspace of Rn. And then, then by the orthogonal complement, then W perpendicular, this is what we call the orthogonal complement of W in Rn. This is the set of all those vectors V in Rn, which are orthogonal to every vector in W. So you want that V dot W equals zero for all V W in W. I'll give an example in a minute. You can think of a line in space through the origin, and the vectors orthogonal to that will be the plane through the origin normal to that line. I'll give an example in a minute. Now, W perpendicular, one of the things you can say, first of all, W perpendicular is a subspace of Rn. And to see that, supposing that you have V1 and V2 in the orthogonal complement, and supposing you have A and B arbitrary scalars, then I want to show that the linear combination of those two vectors, V1 and V1, so if I take any vector W, so if I take W dot A V1 plus B V2, this is going to be A by linearity of the inner product. This is W dot V1 plus W dot V2. And this is equal to zero for any W belonging to W. Because W perpendicular consists of all those vectors V, which are perpendicular to every vector W. And all I'm saying is that linear combinations of vectors which are perpendicular to W are also perpendicular. So if this is W, then the set of vectors perpendicular would be that. In the case of one-dimensional, if it's just a line, the set of vectors perpendicular, that would be a plane. So any vector perpendicular to that, linear combinations of those two will still be perpendicular. This works in general in Rn. Okay. I should say also that zero and also zero belongs to W perpendicular. Remember, a subspace has to contain the zero vector, since the zero vector is orthogonal to any vector in W, not just the vectors in W. It's orthogonal to everything. Yeah. There's a missing B there, right? Plus B, V dot W equal dot zero. Okay. Now, there's another way of computing. If W, so supposing that W is given by a spanning set. So supposing W is the span of vectors, say, V1, say, Vm. So supposing it's spanned by n vectors, so that's the usual way. One way of giving a subspace is by giving it as a spanning set. That's usually the main way. So you'll have these n vectors. Then there's a way of computing W perpendicular. Then W perpendicular consists of all those vectors V in Rn, which are perpendicular to each VI. So V dot VI, well, V1 equals V dot V2 equals V dot VN, M equals 0. So in other words, you don't have to look at find for membership, and the perpendicular only has to be, you don't have to check every vector in W, it's enough to check the fact that it's perpendicular to some spanning set, and that will be enough to check. So that's usually the way one, this also gives us some useful information about W, as we'll see in a minute. So right before I give a little bit more, let's just do some examples. And this is because, again, since if I want to check whether V, if I take a linear combination of the VIs, A1, V1, plus A, M, V, M, that this is equal to, again, A1, V dot V1, plus A, M, V dot V, M. And so this is equal to 0 if V dot VI equals 0. For 1 less than or equal I less than or equal m. So in other words, if a vector is orthogonal to m vectors, then it's orthogonal to any linear combination of those vectors. So it'll be in the orthogonal complement. So to check for membership in the orthogonal complement, it's enough to check that a given vector, which is a candidate for membership, is orthogonal to a spanning vectors in the spanning set for W. That's all right. So let's just give an example. So supposing W is the span, let me just write it as the span of two vectors. Let me just take, say, 1 minus 1, I'll do it in R3, 0, and 1, 0, minus 1. Now, so here W perpendicular, by what I said, consists of those vectors, I'll write them, say, x, y, z in components, such that the dot product with each of these vectors is 0. And if I take the dot product of x, y, z with each one of those vectors up there, what do I'm going to get? So x, y, z dot with the first one is going to be x minus y equals 0. And the other condition is it has to be x, y, z has to be perpendicular to 1, 0, minus 1. So you're going to get x minus z has to be 0. And so from here you can see that anything in y and z all have to be equal to x. So x, y, and z are all equal. So this is very easy. You see this is the span of the vector 1, 1, 1. Now notice that the span of a two-dimensional thing was a one-dimensional thing, because in three space, if you have a plane, the orthogonal complement should be have the complementary dimension, namely 3 minus 2, which is 1. This is a general fact we'll see in a minute, that the dimensions of the orthogonal complement is the complement of the dimension of the space you're taking. Now, I could just as well take W. What is W perpendicular? Oops. Perpendicular. What should that be? In 3 space, if I take a plane, I take the things perpendicular to it, I get a line. And the things which are all perpendicular to that line should be the vectors in the plane. So you should get back the same thing. And you can check that here. So just if we just want to do it, it's a set of all those things, x, y, z, which are orthogonal to that vector in the spanning set, which is 1, 1, 1. So that's the things of all the things of the form, the dot product of x, y, z with the 1, 1, 1 is x plus y plus z. That has to be 0. So that's the span of that's a solution set of a single equation. And we know and we know how to solve that. And we just can, so that's just the span of the two vectors we had, 1, minus 1, 0, and 0, 1, 0, minus 1. Well, I could put 0, 1, minus 1 as well if I wanted to. There's many different, there's many different spanning sets for that. Okay. So this brings out a couple of properties of the orthogonal complement that I'd like to show. Is first of all, is that it's a general fact, is that if the dimension of W is equal to, say, M, this implies that the dimension of the orthogonal complement is equal to n minus m, the complementary dimension. So n is the ambient space, the space you're working in, Rn. If you have an m-dimensional thing, you take its orthogonal complement, you're going to get an n minus m-dimensional thing, just like we did in three-sided. The orthogonal complement of the line with one dimensional is something, three minus one dimensional or two dimensional, etc. Okay, so 1 plus 2 is 3. So why is that so? That follows from what we said before, because if we take, supposing, so let, say, W be the span of, say, V1, Vm, and suppose these are linearly independent, a basis for W. In other words, they're linearly independent. Their span, all I have to check is suppose that they're linearly independent. So supposing I have a linearly independent spanning set or a basis, then W perpendicular, so let say A be the matrix, it'll be the M by N matrix, whose rows are the vectors V1, Vm. Okay. Well, if they're written as column vectors, we'll write them as rows. So now I have a vector whose rows, and what is the rank of that matrix A? What is the rank of that matrix? What's the rank of A? M, because it's the dimension of the row space. So then M equals the rank of A. So what is the nullity? But let's look at W perpendicular. W perpendicular consists of all those vectors V in Rm, such that Vi, if you dot V equals zero. Now, if you write V vertically and Vi horizontally, what you're just getting, the fact that the vector V has to be in the null. This is for I equals 1 to n. This is that V has to be in the null space of A. Okay, V for 1 less than equal I less than equal m. And so this is precisely the null space of A. Just like we had in that example before, this is null space of the matrix A. Now, if you take the matrix A, they're the VIs. And then if I take X, Y, Z, I want in W perpendicular, that vector has to be orthogonal to the rows. That's the same thing, that to transpose that row times this vector has to be zero. But that's just saying that X, Y, Z is in the null space of A. It satisfies the system of equations with coefficient matrix A. We just like we did before up here, when we had the span of 1 minus 1, 0, 1, 0 minus 1, then the rank of the matrix A in this case would be 1, 0 minus 1, and 0 in our example above we had before. Well, let's give the conclusion. So this implies that the dimension of W perpendicular by the rank theorem is n minus the rank of A, which is n minus m. Okay. By the rank theorem. The rank, remember, the rank plus the nullity is the number of columns, and here the vectors we're talking about, they're all in Rm, they're n-dimensional vectors, and I have m of them. They're linearly independent, so they make a matrix. The x's which are in the null space of that are precisely the x's which are orthogonal to the rows. That's the idea. So for example, we had before, so if we had, in our previous example, if we had W equals the span of those two vectors, 1 minus 1, 0, and zero, whoops. And what was the other one? Zero. Well, okay, it doesn't matter. 0, 1 minus 1. 0, 1 minus 1. Then A in this question is just the matrix 1 minus 1, 0, and then 0, 1 minus 1. And the null space of A consists of all those vectors x, y, z, such that A times x is 0. But that's simply saying that x minus y equals 0 and y minus z equals 0, which is precisely the set, which is the span of 1, 1, 1 again. OK, so we get the, is that clear, everybody? So the orthogonal complement, to find the orthogonal complement is easy, a set of vectors. Basically, you take those vectors and write them as rows and take the null space of that matrix. Or they take the system of equations, the solution space of the system of the homogeneous equations, that coefficient matrix. That gives precisely the orthogonal complement that you're looking at. That's one way of getting it. We'll give shorter ways of doing it today. OK. Another property of the orthogonal complement is that we saw before in our example, if you take the orthogonal complement and the orthogonal complement, this is actually equal to W. And why is that? Well, first of all, we always have that W perpendicular contains W. Because W is always perpendicular to everything which is perpendicular to W. So if you take something in W, then it's perpendicular to everything which is perpendicular to W. Right? So in other words, W is in the orthogonal complement of W because everything in W is orthogonal to everything which is orthogonal to W. So that's a kind of a tautology. And they have the same dimension, have same dimension. Right? Because this has dimension. The dimension here is n minus n minus m, and the dimension here is m, and so this is m. So if you take a space of dimension m, the orthogonal complement has a dimension n minus m. If you take its orthogonal complement, it has a dimension n minus m, you come back to m. And so you have two subspaces, one contain the other, and they're the same dimension, so they have to be equal. So this implies that W perpendicular, you come back to W. Okay. One other property which is important is that W perpendicular intersected with W is always 0. Since if you take a vector V which is in the intersection, this implies that the vector has to be orthogonal to itself. If it's in V and it's in W perpendicular, then it's perpendicular to every vector in V, so it must be perpendicular to itself. But the only vector which is perpendicular to itself is, we know, is just the zero vector, because this is just the square of the length of V. And so this implies that V equals 0. So that's an important fact about the orthogonal complement. As a result of this, I'm going to show that the next thing I want to show is that Rn is W plus W perpendicular. Well, by that I mean, any vector in Rn can be written as a sum of a vector in W and a vector perpendicular to W. So basically, this is what I want to do. If I take a vector, any vector here, I'd like to be able to write it as a sum of a vector in W and a vector perpendicular to W. That's the basic idea of orthogonal projection that I want to generalize. So that's the first thing. If I take any vector in W, I can always subtract off some vector so that the remaining vector is orthogonal, so that the difference is orthogonal to W. And that's the vector. So I can always subtract from any vector a vector in W. I can always subtract off, here's my W, and here's my vector. I want to subtract off from this vector some vector in W, so that the difference is perpendicular to W. So I want to write any vector in Rn as some vector in W plus something which is perpendicular to it. This has a lot of applications. It's just generalizes something we know in R3, but this can be done quite nicely, essentially using formulas which generalize quite easily from the ones we already know. So let's see how we prove that. So can be, I haven't said it, written as a sum of a vector in W and a vector in perpendicular to W. So in other words, you want V belonging to Rn implies that V can be written W1 plus W2, where W1 belongs to W and W2 belongs to, is perpendicular to W. That's what that means. So symbolically, the sum of, actually you can define the sum of any two subspaces that consists of all vectors that can be written as the sum of a vector in one plus a vector in the other. For example, the plane would be the sum of the two of E1 and E2, for example, that would give you the whole. Okay, so how do we prove this? So to show this, let UM be a basis for W, and say K be a basis for W perpendicular. Well, I know here then K has to be equal to N minus M, because I know that the sum of the dimensions of W and W perpendicular add up to N. And M is the dimension of W here. So I claim that U1, UM, if I put all these vectors together, are linearly independent. That would do it, because if I have, and this would prove what I wanted to, because if I have M plus K vectors, or N vectors here, and if they're linearly independent, then they must, in an n-dimensional space, then they must span. This implies, so this would imply that they span Rn. So this, which would imply that W plus W perpendicular is equal to Rn. In other words, because it clearly, if they span R, well, let me just, I'll put that down underneath. Okay. So that's what I want to do. Because that's enough. But let's just show that. So to do that, so let's take A1 U1 plus A M U M, and then let me add B1 V1 plus BK VK. And let's set that equal to 0. In order to prove those vectors are linearly independent, I have to show that all the A's and the B's are 0. Okay. Now let's just look at this, what we have here. Let's look at this first part. This is a vector in, let's call this W1, and let's call this vector W2. Okay. Now W1, this vector belongs to W. And this vector W2, that belongs to W perpendicular. Right, just by the way we chose the U's and the V's. And I have U1, and I have W1 plus W2 equals 0, which implies that W1 equals minus W2. And of course, that implies that W1 and belongs to W intersected W perpendicular, right? Because if I take W1, it's in W. But it's minus W2, which is a vector in the orthogonal complement. And so that vector W1 is in W, and it's in the orthogonal complement, so it has to be 0. So this implies that W1 equals 0. And of course, that implies, because W1 is minus W2, equals W2 equals 0. So this implies that A1 U1 plus, now I've divided my two sum ends here, UM equals 0, and B1 V1 plus BK VK equals 0. Now I've divided those two terms apart. Now each separately, their sum was 0. Now each of them is 0. And now I can use the fact that the U's and the V's are separately independent. So this implies that A1 equals AM equals B1 equals BK equals 0, because the vectors, the U's and the V's, are linearly independent. Okay, so now I know that they're independent, so therefore we know that therefore the vectors U1, UM, V1, VK span RN, because they're n linearly dependent vectors in RN span, n linearly independent vectors in RN span, RN. That's basic fact. If you want to show something span, if you have n independent vectors in an n-dimensional vector space, then they automatically... Is there a problem? Pardon? This would imply that they span RN. Yeah. I didn't give the reason there. I just gave the reason again. Because I have n independent vectors in RN, and so any n independent vectors in RN span. Okay, that's basic, one of the basic theorems that we use that over and over again. It's a very powerful thing to show something span. If you have n independent things and an n dimensional thing, then they automatically span. That was the whole point. So therefore, if I take vector v in RN, this implies that I can write v as, say, a1 v1 plus am vm plus b1. Did I get these mixed up? Yeah. I get mixed up the u's and the v's. Okay. So a1 u1 plus am um, and then plus b1 v1 plus BK, VK. So I call again, I call this W1, and I call this W2. And so I've written, and this again belongs to W, and this belongs to W perpendicular. So I've shown that I can write any vector in Rn as a sum of a vector in my space W, plus a vector orthogonal to W. Now I claim that this is actually a unique way. I claim this is unique. So V... So supposing V equals W1 plus W2, and supposing I could write it like this, where say W1 prime belongs to W1 and W2 prime belongs to W perpendicular. Sorry, there's no W1. So supposing I could write the vector W in another way as a sum of a vector in W plus a vector perpendicular to W, then this would imply that W1 minus W1 prime equals W2 prime minus W2. In other words, I just bring W1 prime to one side and W2 to the other side. Now we just look at here. This is in W. And because both W1 and W1 prime are in W. And on the other hand, I have on the other side here, I have vectors W2 prime and W2, both perpendicular to W, so they belong to W perpendicular, and since it's a subspace, the difference of the vectors also. But now I have a vector which is in W, and again, the same argument before, I have a vector W1